Hello and welcome. You're listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. I am Will Morgan, and I am joined, as always, by Douglas Bowles. Tonight, on this 24th day of April, for episode number 81 with Little John.
Thanks, Will. Hope you and everyone is doing well this evening. Tonight, the program is reconnecting with an old friend, an OG synchromystic and one of the founding members of the Sinkhole. And here I'm talking about the accidental alchemist, John Kidd. His work and more information about him can be found at his blog, jfdk1982.blogspot.com, and a link to his YouTube channel can be accessed there. John contributed a chapter to the Sync Book in 2011 entitled Robin Hood and Little John, but most recently he and Will Scarlet and the rest of the Merry Men have been up to something. Hi, John. Very good to have
Hello.
You. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, of course, and for putting up with my insolence.
It's only insolence if I don't know. So tell me, you and Will have been working on something.
Oh, have we? Yeah, for years now we've been trying to give birth to this mutation.
But so is that literally true, that this is something you both recognized years ago?
Oh, my God. We've tried this how many times now, John? Like three or four?
At least four times. Four times.
Four times.
Yeah, at least. I've been flaking out on Will for years on this one.
No way. I wouldn't say it like that. I mean, doing projects with people is really hard. I mean, you have to either be in the same, you know, area as them, or be really committed to doing it online. I mean, to do it networking online is really difficult for big projects. This is a big project, too.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And that's kind of one of the things that encouraged me to begin with, and then it kind of got discouraging as you realize the scope of it, and you know, you're trying to figure out what exactly you're trying to communicate. At least that's how I feel about it. And you know, my life has been kind of chaotic and out of routine and out of structure. And now, as I'm getting into my 30s, I feel like structure is easier to attain, especially with patient people like yourself.
Thank you. Well, no, I don't think Doug has a clue of what we're talking about. Still,
no, but so, but like, there must be a kernel here that you guys can't walk away from. That there's something.
Well, it's the scope of it that's interesting. I mean, what we're talking about is a Jim Carrey sync project. I mean, that's the biggest title you can say that describes it. But every time you mention a Jim Carrey sync project to anyone, the immediate response is, well, what angle do you want to take? Because there's so many of them, and John and I sat down to do as many as possible. I think, I mean, it's almost like a house of cards. If you yank one out, everything falls, because it's also, I don't know, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you want to try to put something out there that is going to be enjoyable to watch and just not overladen with Mickey Mouse details as well, like,
right.
And that's kind of where I've fallen short in the past, where I focus on certain aspects of projects only out of habit. You know, you have to have somebody who can criticize you, and you can accept their criticism, and you can trust their criticism, and that's kind of what me and Will have developed over the years, is an appreciation of straightforwardness. Mm-hmm. You know.
And so this is the first video that you've worked on in about a year or so, or how long, John?
The Reluctant Messiah was the last one, though.
Yeah, the one that we worked on together was the last one, but you've done one since then, haven't you?
Yeah, I did a couple other ones as well, and they were, I don't know, I tried to take my focus away from, you know, the Hollywood movie pop culture thing, and I just experimented with some different things, and you know, all the while having a family is just time consuming, and I'm glad that I've allowed myself to let my family consume my time more than other things. But you know, this since 2007, 2008, when I discovered Jay Kotze's videos and Steve's videos, it's become my spirituality. But it's like, you know, it's in its infant stages as far as consciousness goes. You know, we're just kind of cracking the shell a bit here, I feel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So then you guys have been batting around ideas for years, literally, about a Jim Carrey video. But now you're actually... I hear something about notes. And I know that there's some – it's so funny, I never made any videos. Rendering and uploading. And
well, it's all variations of time and patience and ratios of that.
Right. I mean, because things can – all right. Well, you have to – usually when you're editing, you have like a timeline, right? And you put things on this timeline. You fade them in and out. And you try different variations of presentation. And – when you've got what you want, you render it. But it's specifically calling rendering it. It's like making the movie or the MP4 or whatever. But, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do as far as, like, how big your file size is, how good the quality is, the audio quality, and so forth and so on. And there's a lot of mistakes that can be made. So it's like it's a very time, first off, to just teach yourself is a difficult thing to do. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and all right, so, I mean, what we've done before on 42 Minutes has, you know, we've experimented with watching media and expressing what we're watching to the audience as we go along. So people can do this. I mean, this specific conversation that we're having will be put up afterwards, so other people can go on YouTube and at least find partial pieces of the stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight. So what we're going to do is a little experiment. All right, gentlemen, are you with me? Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm loaded.
Yeah, I've got all the drugs in front of me, so just tell me
all
what
the
order.
So the first...
There is an order, yes.
I think the first... We'll start with the one called first.
The first.
All right.
Does that make sense? All right, so I would bring it up on VLC first, gentlemen, or whatever player you use, and just get it locked and loaded. And then we'll count down so we can start this at the same time. Is everybody with me?
Okay, so what I see in front of me is a player with a split screen, and I've got Jim Carrey in both screens.
Right.
Jim Carrey and a monkey on the top?
That's right.
And Jim Carrey with a leopard-printed pimp on the bottom.
Yep. Yes.
Now, these two movies are The Majestic, which was made in 2001, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then The Mask, which was 1993, I believe.
Yes.
And does your mashup have a name? Or...
It was just...
Well, I started calling these little projects where people take media, two or more pieces of media, and mix them up together. I've started calling them sync-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that works.
So,
keep it simple.
Yeah, right. And so you just synchronize the pieces of work, like the Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz thing. That would be a sync-up.
Dark Side of the Rain? Yeah.
That would be a sync-up. So... Yeah,
Kubrick Transformer.
Mashup, yeah, that's a sync-up.
Sync-up is better than mashup.
Well, so what we have here is we have Jim Carrey in The Majestic and Jim Carrey in The Mask, and we're going to be playing these simultaneously.
Okay.
Now,
we're
not going to play these simultaneously like you would do an album and a movie. We're going to just do certain scenes synced up.
So you guys found the scenes that you wanted to sync up, and then you did put them...
This is all John. I sent a bunch... We knew there was things that corresponded in Carrey's movies, but I sent this to John. This is what, you know, we kind of need to focus on. He came back with this because he discovered that there's two scenes in... or a scene in each of these movies that are almost identical. It's really something special.
Okay. And then when I talked to Will about it, he's like, okay, well, you know, there's a bridge scene in this movie and in this movie, and when you start to think about it, you see the obvious pattern, and it you don't even have to say too much. It just kind of does its thing.
Right.
And so
just
now,
like the other videos.
After years of thinking about this kind of stuff, do you have you arrived at a place?
Well, that's all based on you know, what we want to put out there is based on feedback. But as far as me and him go on the whole thing, I think we're just trying to, you know, if you can't come up with a title for something, then that kind of tells you that it's not done yet, right?
You know, it's like James Joyce. A Work in Progress was the name of Finnegan's Wake before he finished it.
That's right.
I haven't even gone there yet.
None of us have. We can't.
I'm going to wait till I'm 40, I think.
It's like Finnegan's Wake is like the Kabbalah. Don't even attempt it unless you're 40 and have children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as a bedtime story only.
Let me see. Should I pull that up? Huh? All right, so should we hit play?
Yep.
All right, on the count of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
All right, so it's weird because there are certain parts of this where the sound will almost like become orchestrated, where they play together.
But yeah, when he gets kicked out of the bar, you'll hear the horns, the trumpets, on both movies.
Right.
But both these movies are running simultaneously now. You're not editing to make
not yet, right? Not at
sync
this
up. But on the
there's a point where we kind of fast forward here soon, but. The interesting thing is that there's palm trees everywhere. Do you understand? And plus, there's also monkeys in both occasions as well. You're not seeing it with your...
They're both called the Coco Bongo Club. They're both,
right.
They have the same name.
So the
is it the actual same club?
No, hell no. I mean, look at it.
Hell no, no. It's way different. Unless it's two different time periods and it's the same...
Right.
Bar, right?
But they're both tiki bars. I mean, there's swing dancing going on, and it's 1920s music, so there's some relation to the movie's bottom line. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, Doug?
Now,
do you understand where we're
Cameron
going?
Cameron Diaz kind of does a trick in this thing, too. She becomes kind of a dog. This dog overlaps
right
at the end of it, but we'll get there soon enough. Here we got the palm trees, right? Or the palm trees, the Coco Bongo, and both of them are in the screen at the same time.
Right, and you have the monkey and the neon, too, on the bottom half. Now, there's also
exactly.
some relationship to the car, too. I mean, they're both
right.
old
he
cars.
Says, that's not my car.
Right.
And then it's like you're looking at the car on the upper screen, not the
right.
POS that he's about to get into.
That would be my car if it was there, right? That's my car.
Right.
Know, it now, plays like that, too. If you keep watching in different parts, it does the correlating.
So you can tell that there's some editing going on here. And what we
right
do
here is the part where we cut out, yeah.
Right. So right now, what we're dealing with is a twin scene where they're both coming from the Coco Bongo, and they're both on these bridges, and they're both in trouble with their vehicle.
And I wanted to point out the possum. The possum is what spooked him in The Majestic, and the possum is known as the social loner of the woods. Now, the car that Jim Carrey is driving... is called the Lona.
The Lona.
The Lona.
Bring around the Lona. The Lona?
The Lona? So, yeah, he's driving a possum. He's driving the Lona.
He is. Right. And
he is a social loner. I was trying to see if possums and Jim Carrey related, but I didn't find anything yet.
Well, the weird thing is I didn't know the possum would be in California, which is where The Majestic takes place. I mean, the possum is always a southern animal. I thought it was south of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah, me too. That would be my assumption.
So it's almost like he intentionally put the... This is the most interesting part because they go to the edge of the bridge at the same
okay.
time.
Okay, so in the upper screen, Jim Carrey's about to go over the bridge in The
right.
Majestic. And then in the lower screen in Mask, he's just kind of looking. And, he's looking, and it's almost like the two screens are
right.
interacting with
and
one another.
As soon as he hits the water, Carrey notices. And he's like, hey. Like he's
what's
in the
that?
Water.
Right.
Because it's actually Carrey that he's rescuing. So Carrey... The mask Carrie is rescuing the Majestic's carry.
Yeah, the mask, exactly. That's why I want Will here for this. And now, this is the part where Will could go into a rant for an hour about Discordianism and masks and
like all stuff. Carrie's collection is always about the identity crisis. Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind, the end of Batman and Robin where he's like, I'm Batman. The number 23, Discordian, it's crazy.
So now he's unconscious.
Which means he changes personalities.
Yeah, now the light shined on him from the police, and that changed everything, you know. And then he smashed his head up against that rock, and that changed everything. You know, that's
right.
The big binary turn. And
then,
actually, on a different clip, when you keep watching the mask, the dog's licking him in the face, and in the mask, his dog Odie jumps up and starts licking him in the face at the same time.
Right.
I think it's Odie, but it doesn't matter.
And so now we have one screen, and this is just the Majestic?
Right, we're just,
yeah,
this is just an uncut screen.
That's it for now. That's all we
it
have
looks
as far
like
as the
Bob
video goes.
From the Church of the Subject.
But then with this dog, it's funny because now I'm doing my own goofiness, but just the way that was shot, it reminded me of the Truman Show where the serious light falls down the dog.
Well, it's the dog who ushers him into the new life, right? Which is very Hermes. I mean, you know, to kick it back to John, he could probably go on a rant on how all of this has to do with Hermes for
yeah, well, that's the thing that we discussed last night is media. You know, Jim, what does Hermes do? Hermes is the god of communication and technology.
Right.
So Jim Carrey actually kind of portrays the progression of our technological evolution through his roles and through the aesthetic of the posters even. Like, how did you put it, Will, when you were talking about how the movie posters had, like, the cable guy and you were going on about like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the cable guy has the whole, his identity is from the media, which also happens again in the Truman Show. I mean, his whole identity is based off the media. In the Batman and Robin one, Jim Carrey is like trying to download the TV into everyone's head, and he's sucking out everybody's experiences and stuff, you remember? So it all has to do with Jim Carrey's, he's embedded in the media, if that makes sense.
Well, maybe it would help, actually, if you pulled up the InfoWars poster collage.
Oh, I'm definitely working on it.
What does that mean?
Oh, Imp Movie Awards is international, the Imp Movie Awards, if you Google IMP Awards or Movie Awards, you come up with a website that is all movie posters, and you can look up these movie posters by actor, by director, by the year they came out, and you learn a lot of things just by looking at individuals' collection of movie posters.
Okay, so
I'm kind of like staring at the TV screen a little, but with Jim Carrey, it's, I don't know, like anybody could look at it and just see the symmetry of things even.
I'm having a hard time finding Jim Carrey's, actually.
I put it in the Dropbox. I put an image there.
Right, that's true. That's true. So I'll look at that. But like I said, individuals who are listening could go to Imp Movie Awards and then look up Jim Carrey, which you did.
I did, and now here I found Steve Carell, Harry Carey. Why can't I find him?
Yeah, under your Google search, just type in Jim Carrey Imp posters, just Jim Carrey Imp, and then it should be the top link. I'll verify that.
I can't remember specifically what you were talking about before, but in The Mask, he...
I've got it pulled up. Here it is.
So what do you see, Doug?
What pops out for you? Well, I've seen a number of these before.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, okay, you start in the middle. You got The Grinch Stole Christmas with the red bulb, and then you got Man on the Moon with the red curtain, circular red bulb behind his head.
Right. And now, do you think these are arranged? How are they arranged?
They're arranged by the year they came out. The bottom would
the
first.
Imp does that automatically, right?
Right.
Like, what you're seeing right now is not, nobody did this on, they just threw it out. Like, the computer organizes it like this.
Right.
It's by year, like you said, so.
There
is it?
There's a strange symmetry between those three in the middle. It's like the, and then the framed, the Me, Myself, and Irene and the Truman Show kind of.
Right.
Well, even if you go across from The Majestic to Simon Birch, those are the two dramatic roles that Jim Carrey took on because he didn't want to be viewed as the goof of Hollywood, so
right.
He's trying to get some serious movies. And The Majestic and Simon Birch were both of his, you know, more serious attempts at drama, right? And then Liar Liar and Bruce Almighty.
Right.
The connection there for me is like, you know, the Liar Liar, he's kind of God there as well. You know, I like to think of God not being capable
of lying.
To lie. You know, that's what God would be, right?
Well, Liar Liar is also related to Yes Man. And it's cool because they have their arms in the same way. Because in one, he can't say no,
mm-hmm.
and the other one, he can't tell a lie. Bruce Almighty's poster is kind of cool to me because Bruce is in blue and Almighty is in red. And in Liar Liar, the whole point where he has that red pen and he tries to write the word, you know, red, and it keeps writing blue. But then you have
mm-hmm.
the red ball on the red curtain. And red and blue come up a lot in his movies, too, if you really pay attention to the details. So that's kind of cool to me.
Yeah, The Majestic, it has Jest in there, like Jester. And then you got The Mask, which is, you know, your Joker, Jester whole thing.
I never thought of it like that, but that makes a lot of sense.
But who's the king, you know? Like, who's the king of Hollywood? Who's this? He's a Jester for what king, you know? That's what kind of came up with me today, so I don't know what that means. But
well, Clint Eastwood, this is what's popping out at me. He's in the Deadpool, and he's in Pink Cadillac.
Right. So Pink Cadillac is weird, too, because in Pink Cadillac, you know, the main thing is the pink Cadillac, and when he's in the number 23, he's like, pink, pink, pink means 23.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But he's in
too.
Pink Cadillac because, you know,
mean T-Rex impersonation or Raptor impersonation in that one, and Elvis.
Right, he's on the backstage while Clint Eastwood is talking in the crowd because he did an impression of Eastwood that Eastwood really liked. So Eastwood mm-hmm. started putting him in his movies.
Hmm.
Or
yeah,
that's how the story goes if you believe the Illuminati.
Well, that was my earlier question, whether or not...
Well, there's Illuminati symbolism all through Carrie's stuff, but...
A series of unfortunate events is like it. And then
eyeballs everywhere.
Look at him in a Christmas Carol, too. It's the same makeup, pretty much.
Right. Well, also, there's the... In The Man on the Moon, he actually is in a cafe that has the Illuminati eyeball behind him. And we've actually found a clip elsewhere, too, where he's got the Illuminati eye behind him. And he's actually referencing it in this In Living Color episode.
Yeah, and Horton Hears a Who, he is the Almighty Eye.
Right.
One seeing,
that's a good point.
You know, crossing the bridge of chaos. In that movie, he's, you know, the planks are falling out beneath him, and he's thinking to himself, he's light as a, you know... lighter than a feather.
You mentioned
planks. He carries the entire reality on the end of his trunk.
You mentioned planks. You see how the railroad at the bottom of this page, how you see the bottom, or I think it's called like Money Train or whatever, and the plank form goes right up into Dumb and Dumber.
And, you know, even the benches there that they're sitting on, and Dumb happens, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Planks, more planks.
More planks.
Hmm.
But that's part of the bridge. Now, if you would...
Oh, the bridge.
Right.
So you're saying that is one of the central features of... Well, so the thing that I'm thinking about is something that we batted around was, you know, let's say you created a tarot of celebrities, like a celebrity tarot deck, you know, and that was an idea that a number of us batted around for years also. But to suggest someone other than Jim Carrey as the fool seemed blasphemy to many of you people.
Absolutely, yes.
Do you see him taking a whole journey, or does he really resonate with the fool for the most part?
Well,
yeah. Well, that's old news, I think. I mean, we're doing, me and Will, is we're trying to show you that there is a whole shit ton of originality as far as his sync web goes. Like it, I mean, he's not just one theme. You know, he's the mask split in two, and one side's Hermes and the other side is a Discordian freak.
Right. It's like Hermes, but there's also, like, you can understand, through his sync web, you could understand the relationship of Osiris and Dionysus and Christ, because his name is Jim Carrey. But,
yeah, there you go.
Right, and you can understand man's relationship to the moon and how, it's just insane. I mean, that's the conundrum right there, is how deep it actually goes. Well, if you click on Yes Man, for instance, right, Doug? Are you with me?
Sure, sure. It's just funny because I'm thinking of a line from John's piece in the Sync book where there's two worlds running simultaneous, and sometimes people with the eyes to see can see both happening at the same time. Mm. So when you're at your work meeting, and the guy starts, when he says Robin Hood to you, and it floors you, it's like people are unwitting actors.
Yeah.
In this other world, this, you know, the essence of the thing, whereas there's also the surface world where...
There's the real world and the sync world.
The sync world, right.
The internal world and the external world.
Can you think of another actor that really resonates like Jim Carrey, or do you think he is the Holy Grail of sync? Is that why? Is he your guys' Holy Grail?
Shit. You know what? I'm just really surprised at how casual I am about all this. Like, when we first started finding out about it, I remember feeling like a burning sensation on the top of my head, like, you know, the Holy Spirit has taken over, and it was really quite the experience. But I guess it's just like seeing dead bodies. You get used to seeing them, you know, and it becomes work. And that's kind of where my motivation kind of went, is I was just so, I guess I was almost depressed, knowing that I just didn't have the time to give this what it deserved. And it's not like feel sorry for me or anything. It's just like I want to show somebody enough of it that maybe they'll be inspired to figure this shit out, if there's anything to figure out. But it seems interesting enough to try to figure out as well.
Right. So
how long do you think this video will be? Like,
first off, I don't. You're talking about like there's a definitive video. Like even now, coming down to this deadline, we couldn't get what we wanted to get done. The thing is with Jim Carrey is like,
he's elusive.
Well, you can't pinpoint what it is.
Exactly.
But it's so big that we hover around it like flies on shit, hoping, you know, hoping that we can, like, pass the torch to somebody else or something. Because it's like, there's like, a way to figure out the Rubik's Cube, goddammit, but I can't explain it to you. Do you know what I mean?
I have a whole other video, like complete a 10-minute video, where I kind of go into the whole other angle, and then I just lost it because even Will watched it. He's like, "What does it mean?" I'm like, I don't know, I forgot. Like, you know, I started doing it, and 10 minutes later into, you know, 10 minutes of video work is probably between 60 to 90 hours of actual labor in some cases, you know, depending on how long or how interesting your video is. And, you know, at the end of that 10 minutes of rendering and highlighting and cutting and pasting and redoing it, I didn't even understand what I was trying to communicate. And that, I guess that's what happened with me, is I got into the research and I started making connections, and then you get to the point where you're like, okay, this is just a joke. Like, is this like a Kubrick joke? Is this actor, because he's so popular in Hollywood, does he have an opportunity to work with the writers and deliberately do this kind of mischief, you know, to see if the audience is paying attention? And,
right.
You know, if he's just fucking with us. Sorry to swear, but...
Well, did you... Let's plug the newest SyncBook radio show. Did you guys happen to listen to the episode of Synchronize that just dropped earlier this week?
Yeah,
I
did.
No, since I haven't been working at... I've fallen behind on my homework.
So I just want to highlight that there's a nice film review by Jake,
right,
in that one. But he does...
42.
Yeah, and he does mention how the things that we stare at tend to just naturally embody the various architecture that it seems like the universe is built upon. So that,
yeah.
So that when someone is so numinous, you know, it's inevitable that the entire universe is going to be there. So that once you start looking, it's like, oh my gosh, do you guys see this?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's well put.
Well, see, 42 is, for SyncKid, the movie, it's almost like a confirmation, do you know what I mean, of what we've been staring at for so long. Jake put it best when he said, there's a major movie picture coming out next week that's called 42. And for a lot of people, Jim Carrey is like old school. I mean, he's got a movie called The Number 23, where it directly engages in sync as well. But it's, like I said, old school. And yet, nobody has really pieced together anything of a video nature of Jim Carrey's sync will. It was kind of done with Jake and Red Ice, but not of the same old school Katza style video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so in a way, yeah, I guess it is a holy grail to a sort.
Well, it could be if we could find... I think that we'd find reasons for ourselves to carry on with the carry, but... when you're trying to make art, you have to try to evolve something. You know, you can't just copy. Like, I, for a while there, when I first got into sync, I was like, I want to make a video like Wilner's. I want to make one like Kotze. You know, I want to try to blow minds in 10 minutes. And then, you know, you just got to try and think, okay, I want to make something that people are gonna, you know, I'm gonna let the audience connect on with me, you know, like, come over here and check this out and see it from my perspective, because I'm going to think it's interesting, but not only do I think this is interesting, but so does this gentleman over here. He thinks it's pretty cool, and, you know, listen to what he has to say about it, and so does this guy, you know, and he has his own interesting thing to say about it, and so on and so forth. You know, it's a way of connecting with people, and it's a way of expressing art, and maybe... the more people look at it, you'll be able to form something. You'll be able to complete what it is trying to be communicated, or ultimately you'll just find out that it's just it's endless.
And to be clear...
In a way, it would be good to have that figured out.
This line of thinking is becoming more and more common. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah. Well, it's becoming Hollywood. Like, it's not just the occasional movie. It's deliberate movies about synchronicity in a larger number of them. Like, look at the names of the movies coming out now, like you said.
Well, it's interesting. Let's talk about the... I don't know if you can source it for us, John, but the Pi video breakdown that you found by another individual.
Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah, that link with the golden ratio.
Right.
Exactly. There you go. You got it well. All right. So another reason why I've kind of taken a hiatus on sync work as like a main form of expression is because I found this nifty little website called Reddit where they take the internet, condense it into, you know, easily digestible headlines and pictures and links and you know, no-nonsense titles, straight-to-the-point information. And I've started to see an increase in synchronicity posting, even, where people are, like, really paying attention to movies now because we live in the age of information and we can compare 12 different movies at the same time on one computer. You know, we can do these kind of things. So as one gentleman recently found out that if you take movies, he only did about 30 movies, and he took the golden ratio as far as the timeline goes of the movie. I forget the number, but it's 6. Something, something, some.
Whatever so, fucking,
you know,
pi is.
Yeah, well, it's out of pi. The golden ratio, not pi. Pi is in the golden ratio, but the golden ratio is.
That's right.
You know, I'd have to pull up the internet, and I don't think I'd like to do that because anybody who knows the golden ratio will understand what I'm trying to say. That if you take, you know, if you go 60% into a movie, and there's usually, well, out of these 30 movies that this guy found, and they're all pretty different, there's something interesting on the screen that correlates with, you know, the visual aspect of Pi, or there's a major plot change in the movie, or there's a major character something or other. And, you know, I'd have to bring up the link. But
I do have the link up right now, and I dropped it into Skype for you guys. We'll put it in the show notes or something like that. Perhaps if we can accomplish that feat. Doug, do you have it?
Yeah, I was looking at it, and then it reminded me of the page 69 test, which is, in a perfect novel, I think page 69 somehow encapsulates the entire book.
Ooh. Well, see, these books... Yeah.
Yes.
That's a perfect...
669, it's a cool number.
So but we have Indiana Jones, and they find the Ark of the Covenant, and the movie Iron Man, he uses his suit in battle for the first time. In The Dark Knight, the Joker forces Batman to choose who he will save, and the explosion is almost exactly at the golden ratio point.
Right, and so then
Jurassic Park, the T-Rex breaks out. Terminator, Sarah realizes that everything this crazy guy has been telling her is true.
So they used to complain for years. They'd say, "Oh, what these filmmakers are doing is they're reading Joseph Campbell, and then they've got it like a set formula that they're trying to." And
which
I was
is true.
Never...
There are people who do that. They have programs for that shit.
Oh, yeah, just recently I read that,
artists don't think like that. When I
It doesn't
when I,
matter. There is a program. I can't
sure,
source
sure,
the
but
news
so,
article that I read about it. That is true. But there was...
Artists don't automatically think like that, Doug? You're saying that the golden ratio...
No. I'm like, saying so, like, that we can't help but, you know, the monomyth comes out of art, or the golden ratio comes out of... Like these are. Deep.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but to me, a true storyteller would understand the concept of the conscious and the subconscious, and try to marry the two. I mean, being conscious of what you do is the key, for sure.
But so this would intimate that the filmmaker realizes that at this precise time spot in the film.
Maybe it just has to. Maybe good story, because all of these that he references are good stories and wildly successful stories. The Terminator, Watchmen, Star Wars, Avatar, The Matrix, V for Vendetta. I mean, Shawshank Redemption, Wall-E, for Christ's sake.
That makes interesting. It makes sense, because what if we do that with everything? You know, like, a lot of people, when they task, they have a cigarette after they task. You know, they do something, have a smoke, they do something, have a smoke. Or, you know, I'm watching or I'm doing something, so whether you realize it or not, you're writing something and you're doing really good, and it's something that's going to be good, a writing project, you just naturally stop 60% through to have a cigarette or a snack or, you know, just a stretch, and you go back to it. It'd be worth paying attention to see if, you know, if there's some kind of a rhythmic climaxing of some sort when it comes to everything. You know, like, or if it's just a bomb, you know, like if it's a shitty story, you stopped at 50% or 30% and, you know, it didn't work out good. But because you gave yourself that break, you gave yourself that time to stop, grab your scruples, come back and finish it, maybe there's some kind of correlation there.
Homeboy said scruples.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to be paying attention to that, and it's just not going to work. Like magic, I always believe that you have to have an intent, and then you just got to let it go. And then it comes true. Like, you got to have a wish, but you can't hold on to that wish to the point of compulsion and repetition. You got to kind of get yourself to the peak of that intent of where you want it to go. And then as soon as you just let go of it and think about something else or fall asleep, then, you know, it happens. You know, that's the same with art as well. You know, like, if you're forcing it, then it's just going to be shit. Unless you're a professional, I guess.
Right. All great art comes from somewhere else anyways.
Yeah.
Well, that's just about 42 minutes. And I think we hit the golden ratio mark. So thank you. You've been listening to 42 Minutes, a production of ThinkBook Radio on thesyncbook.com. For more information about the ThinkBook, our guests, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com/42minutes. If you like what you hear and would like to support the show, follow the link on the website to the donation page. Thank you all, and have a wonderful Tuesday, except it's Wednesday. So
have a wonderful Thursday.
Have a good hump day, everybody.
Thanks so much.